It's a wonderful, wonderful thought to think that God makes no mistakes. It's also a wonderful thought to think that what we do and call mistakes are never accidents to God. He's very aware. The older my children get, the more I become aware of this. Jack, you've got to stop, buddy. That was timed out well, wasn't it? He's swatting flies with his fan over here. You know, the things you see that they're about to do and you realize it's going to be trouble, but you either don't get the words out quick enough or you just decide, you know what, they need to learn from this, so you let them go anyways. I think God's that way with us a lot of times. My boys, they all hit that age where they think they're big enough to get the milk off the top shelf of the fridge, which to them it's like, you know, to me I just reach down in there and get this little bitty gallon of milk, but to them it's bigger than most of their body, and they think they're big enough, and I'm aware that they're not big enough, and I'm also aware that that costs more per gallon than gasoline, and I'm usually panicking, no, don't touch the milk. But finally I decide the best way for them to learn might just be to let them grab it, and as soon as they get it off that shelf, you know what happens? Oof, straight down. But it's not a mistake or an accident to me because I knew it was about to happen and I saw it coming and I think, well, listen, they need this for this point of their life. Wasn't our God that way? Praise the Lord. Good service today. I hate to ruin it with this sermon. Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we know we're told through your word to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this review today to know that we need to be thus minded. Lord, we're more thankful that when we're not, your word says pretty surely here that you'll remind us to be this way. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who is real and alive and ever working in each of our lives. Thank you for being active in the hearts of men. Father, we just pray that you'll bless our time together as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. We only are going to deal with one verse today, but this one verse is sort of a hinge for the entire chapter. I want to draw your attention back because we need to decide what Paul is talking about here or who he's talking to before we can get into what he's saying here. As he says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, if you remember, like I do, that Paul says none of us are perfect and none of us have attained or none of us have apprehended that for which we are apprehended. If you remember the last few weeks, he has made that point pretty clear. And I was convinced last Sunday when we left here that according to the book of Philippians, written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, I was not perfect and was not going to be in this life. Were you all of that same persuasion? And then he kind of throws us a loop here then, doesn't he? He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, it's my understanding that he's writing to who here? Believers. But specifically at the time of the writing, who is he writing to? The believers at the church of Philippi. We call them the Philippians, right? So we know he's writing to believers in the church there. So as we read this, we ought to interpret it as believers in the church here. Amen? But he's already said, we're not going to be perfect. Look at verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. So what are we doing here? As he says in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Who could this be? He's just convinced us that none will attain perfection in this life. But doubtless, he is speaking to believers. And as he talks about being perfect or attaining or apprehending, we know that he's speaking to mature Christians. So I think at best, what we should take away from this here is that we are perfect in Christ in eternity and perfect in this life in that we realize our own imperfections. How do you like that? I like that. That's pretty good. Not my own wording. Not bragging on myself there. I found that in my study, but I thought that works out pretty good for me. So I want to take from there today and then get the rest of the verse, focusing on these words where he says, be thus minded. He said, as many as be perfect. To the church he is writing here. And he says, be thus minded. Now I hope that takes you back to chapter 2 is he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he said, he follows up with, be thus minded, or have a mind like this, with, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So be thus minded. The idea here is for the church to operate according to the will of God. Do you ever hope in your life, or do you ever have those times where you say, I'm praying about God's will on this, or I'm trying to know God's will on this, or I really hope God will let me know His will on a thing, or I'm seeking the will of God. You know, I don't know how you word it, but I think there comes times in all of our lives, or it might be an everyday occurrence, where we are all seeking the will of God. Jack, can you put that fan down, please? Thanks, buddy. He's waving it over his head. I don't mind if you guys fan yourselves, by the way. If you need to fan yourself, you're hot. But if you got it up here, it's kind of attention gathering, and everybody's looking over here instead of up here. So know the will of God is what we're talking about here today. I want to encourage you to know God's will. We've all at some point in our lives prayed to know God's will. We've probably all struggled with a decision hoping to do God's will. So here are a few thoughts for you that'll help you to better know God's will. First, I would say this. To know God's will means to change our understanding of what this means. Can we know the mind of God? Don't answer that. That's a rhetorical question, and it's a philosophical question for the ages. Some would take you straight to verses that say, yep, we can know the mind of God. Others would say to you, no, it's impossible for us in our carnal sense to know the mind of God. But ask within yourself this morning, can we know the mind of God? To know God's will for us means to change our understanding of what it means to know God's will or to be thus minded. Boyce writes, if you really want to know God's will, you must be willing to do His will even before you know what it is. You ever had a job like that? Where you just needed the job? Where you just wanted the job? For me, it's always been necessity, not just I really wanted the job. I just needed that job. I needed to feed my family or pay my bills or whatever it was at the time that I needed the money for. So I showed up with the job, and whatever the boss man said, I did that. I was ready to do whatever he said before he even told me, no matter what it might have been, because I needed a job because I needed a paycheck at the end of the week. To know God's will means to change our understanding of what this means to know God's will. And first, that begins with being willing to do His will even before we know what it is. Well, that's hard for us as human beings, I think. To say that, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whoever you want me to be before we even know, become aware of what that is an impossibility for many. It's a hard thing. It's something that we're unsure about. If you're like me, you like to plan. You like to have control. You like to make sure that you've been a good steward of the time and the resources that you've been allotted. And that requires some planning. That requires knowing about some things. That requires some advance notice about some things. For me, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do most times, but I'll say to Him, Lord, now the night before, I need some idea of what it is going to be tomorrow so that I can plan for what it is You'd have me to do. I'll do it, but I'll do it a whole lot better if You'll give me a hand up or a heads up before we get to it. Are y'all that way, or am I the only one who's this way? But you know what usually happens if He does give me a heads up beforehand? I mess up. I get that heads up, and then I put chance's hands on the mess. My sinful carnal hands, and mess up God's will. Well, I can't mess up God's will, but I mess up what it is God would have me to do. Most want to be able to see the blueprints of God's will. Then make an educated decision about whether or not this will fit in with their own plans. That's the real problem, isn't it? That's the real root of the issue of knowing God's will. It's not we want to know God's will to do God's will. We want to know God's will so we can decide if we're going to do it or not. Because we already know our own will, right? You know your own will. You know what you want in life. You know what you're after. You know what you plan to do. Even if you say to me, I don't know that I know what I want in life yet. Yeah, you do. Evidently, at this point in your life, you want uncertainty. You don't want a set plan that you're bound to. When I was a kid in high school, there was always boys that didn't play on the football team. I eventually became one of those boys because I played on the basketball team. But there were boys who didn't play on the football team. And the only reason they didn't play, they were great athletes. The coaches would say, please, play on the football team. You're bigger than everybody else, or you're faster, or you're stronger than everybody else. And you know what the only reason most of them wouldn't play on the football team for? Because they had other things they wanted to go do after school. To be on the football team, you had to go to practice every day right after school. You couldn't go talk to girls. That was tough. I was just tough. You couldn't do your homework if you're one of, you know, if you're so inclined. You couldn't get in your truck and go cruise town before your mom and daddy got out of work and could catch you cruising town. You know, there are a lot of things you couldn't do because you were bound to being responsible to the commitment that you had made. I'm convinced that in our culture there are many who won't take a job for that reason. You ever met somebody who's always looking for a job? Never seems to find a job? Where I go has a now hiring sign in the place. Have y'all noticed this? I mean, even in downtown White Bluff, there's not much in White Bluff. But even in the little places that there are, some of these little locally owned places have big old now hiring signs up in there. Anyway, that's a soapbox, wasn't it? I'm not supposed to soapbox, but on Sunday nights. But we're not having service tonight, so I'll soapbox a little bit this morning. All right? Is that all right with you guys? But if you really want to know God's will, you must be willing to do His will even before you know what it is. You must be willing to say, I'll let my own will go so that God's will can take place in my life. But those who want to make an educated decision about it beforehand will probably never know God's will. Knowing God's will is not becoming aware of His plans to mix in with our own. Can a being have two wills? No, it's impossible. So you're either operating in your own will or God's will. Both cannot happen inside of your brain. We're not that complex of beings. You ever seen a dog try to go left and right at the same time? They do this. And they end up going in a circle. Or they end up falling over. Whatever. You might maybe try to see me go left or right at the same time. Some of you get here early before church and you see me scurry around. And I scurry around putting the finishing touches on everything. You know, as if I didn't touch this or that, it wasn't going to be just right for church. And I worry about that and try to make it. And you'll see me, I'll be heading over here to the office, then I'll remember I need to do something in the foyer, and then I'll just kind of get caught right in the middle. You can't have two wills. So you're either operating according to God's will, or you're operating according to your own. And to say, I'm going to operate according to my own will, but throw God into the mix before His blessings, really is a sin. You see, we can know of, and we can know. Those are two different things, right? Let's take me, for example. I know of, and I'm just going to call him Dr. So-and-so, because there's several guys I could throw in there that are heroes of mine. But I know of Dr. So-and-so. I've shaken his hand. I have his autograph. I've read his books. I've heard him speak. I've had my picture made with him. I know of him. Now, if I were to show up at his house this morning and say, yeah, you know me, I'm Chance, right? He might remember my name. He might remember my face, but he's probably not going to invite me inside. He's probably going to say, what are you doing at my house and how'd you get my address? You're almost acting like a stalker. So, because I just know of him. I don't really know him. But my wife, I know. I know her. We share a life together. We do the budget together. Oh, man, did August fly by? It's already September tomorrow and it's time to do the budget again. Oh, man. You Dave Ramsey people know what I'm talking about right there, don't you? Whew. You got to sit down and have that budget committee meeting to start your month, or it just won't go right. Oh, man. I mean, I love my wife and all, but would some of y'all take her away from me for the next couple of days so I don't have to do the budget with her? Not really. I know her. You know, she's the one that if I get a new mole on my back, I show her. I say, will you look at this and make sure it looks all right? I wouldn't dare do that to any of y'all. Amen? Amen. The most resounding amen I've ever had. We know each other. We share a life together. We have these children, thing one, thing two, and thing three, that we tote around everywhere we go. I know of some people, but I know my wife. Only when your relationship with Christ becomes that of sharing a life together can you truly know God's will. Can you truly, as Paul writes here this morning, be thus minded? Once we change our understanding of what we actually want, we become comfortable with the fact that the instruction is in God's Word. So Let's back up for just a second and review. How do we know God's will? What is knowing God's will? How do we be thus minded? And simply put, we empty ourselves of self and allow ourselves to be filled with Him, and then His will naturally become our will. We'll know it because it is in us. It is who we are. Where do we get this from? We get this from God's Word. Nothing can be the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. Nothing can be the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. If you ever find yourself saying, well, I know what the Bible says, but... You ever done that? Boy, I've been there. Usually in an argument with my wife. Usually during the budget committee. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing can be the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. Is the same God leading you now who inspired the Bible then? Let's answer that one. That's not a rhetorical question. Is the same God leading us now who inspired the Bible way back then? Amen. Amen. Yes. Will He ever operate contradictory to His own Word? No. Good. You guys are smart. That's great. Consequently, nothing can be the will of God for you that is not in accordance with this Word of God. Let me show you some examples. You can turn with me if you like, or you can hold your place and I'll just read them to you. But you might want to mark these in your Bible. John chapter 6, verse 40. Some examples in God's Word of God's will being in His Word or through His Word. John chapter 6, verse 40 says, "And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Is this not the will of God for unbelievers? God is not interested in where they should work, who they should marry, or where they should live. God is interested in Jesus becoming their personal Savior. He says very clearly, "This is the will of Him that sent Me." You want to know the will of God? Here it is. John chapter 6, verse 40. "This is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life." All right, let me give you another example. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar verses. You should know Romans 12, 1 and 2. You should live by Romans 12, 1 and 2. You should post it up in your house somewhere. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is an unchangeable principle in the Word of God. Anything that contributes to our growth in holiness is an aspect of God's will for us. Anything that hinders that growth in holiness is not God's will. You ever said, "Should I go here and do this? Should I not do that? Should I, you know what?" This pretty much lays it out. If it contributes to your growth in holiness, it's probably God's will. If it hinders your growth in holiness, it is most definitely not God's will. God is interested in having us become like who? Jesus Christ. Which is Him. If you said Him, that's all right too. We are to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is, does anybody remember the theological term for that? We've been working on three theological terms. Ugh, I said theological terms. That works. I just combined the words together. There, made a new word. Justification, sanctification, glorification. What is being conformed to the image of Christ? Which one? Do you want to take a gander at that? Anybody? Sanctification now, glorification then. When sanctification is complete, we will have glorification. All right, good. Colossians 3:23 is another example. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. It is God's will for you to bloom where you are planted." Absolutely. Have you ever felt that you might be out of God's will because things in your life got difficult? Well, I have. You go through a hard week at work or a hard time in your personal life, or just something goes on and things get difficult, and you begin, if you're spiritually minded, you begin to seek out, "Lord, am I doing Your will? Am I living in accordance to Your will? Am I doing right now? Is there sin in my life? Is there something You want me doing that I'm not doing? Because I feel this nudging that things are getting difficult, and I don't know if I'm in Your will or not." That's not a bad place to be in. Those are good times to kind of just seek within ourselves where we are and what we're doing and what we need to be doing. But maybe also at those times, we don't need to change as much, as these are just times for us to work more heartily. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You ever thought about during those times just changing your focus on who you're living unto? If you're doing it unto the Lord, is it as hard as if you're trying to live unto men? Boy, that amazes me. In the hardest times of my life, when I think, I don't know if I can go tomorrow or not. But I change my focus from, I'm not going to do it for man, I'm going to do it for God. There's not much I can face in this life that I cannot do unto God. And then, you know, you may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, you said you're going to preach about knowing God's will, and I'm really wanting to know God's will for my life right now. And what about the personal things? Give me something there, because you're just giving me Bible, and I know the Bible, but, right? Let me give you some more Bible to help you with that one. Philippians 4:8. You should be close to that in your Bible. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Right here in verse 8 of chapter 4, you get God's will for how to think, where to go, where not to go, what to do, what not to do, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. God's word gives God's will very generally and very specifically. What's God's word, or what is God's will in God's word very generally for everybody? Get saved. What do you do after that? Get baptized, right? Get baptized. And one other thing in the church we're supposed to do, get baptized, and one more thing, two church ordinances. Take the Lord's table. Do this in remembrance of Him until He come, right? All right, so we get saved, we get baptized. With the baptism, we've joined the church, we take from the Lord's table. What else is God's will for everybody to do? I should answer these. I'm afraid of the answers I'm going to get from here on out, right? Read the Bible, pray. Are those God's will for everybody? Yeah. And then make disciples. Amen? I mean, I don't care who you are, that's God's will for everybody in a general sense. Now, God may want you making disciples in downtown Nashville every day. God may want you making disciples over in White Bluff every day. God may have had you making disciples in downtown Nashville every day for the last 30 years, and He's allowed you now to come and make disciples right from your own home every day in a thing called retirement. Praise the Lord for that. No amens on retirement. I thought I might get some amens on retirement there. I've begun to consider retirement. I've been working for a few years now, and I'm thinking maybe that's my next best move. No, not really. I'm just kidding. No, it's not. That's right. Never mind. So we understand what it is to know God's will. We've submitted to the authority of God's word. And finally, we must operate according to God's way. Paul writes here at the end of the verse, if in anything you be otherwise minded. Have you ever been otherwise minded? Boy, I have. Oh my goodness, I've been otherwise minded. I have had these days where I'm like, but Lord, I'm the preacher. I am the spiritual leader of that group of your saints, the church. Lord, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Y'all didn't know I was that way, did you? No, you did. You did. I know you did. I have been otherwise minded. And Paul says, if in anything you be otherwise minded. What are we talking about? Otherwise to what? God's will. God shall reveal even this unto you. This is God's way. God wants us to know His will. He wants us to operate according to His word, and He wants us to do all of this according to His way. And His way is that when we get outside of His will, He will nudge us back. How does He do this? He does this through daily, and if you're like me, maybe hourly or minutely, a word? I don't think it is. Daily or hourly fellowship with Him. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God's way is for us to pray without ceasing, for us to rely upon Him, for us to take every step we take in mercy and grace, right along with Him all the way of every day. Let me illustrate this for you.
An airline pilot cannot always see what is coming, particularly in bad weather. At best, he can see only about 100 miles. Yet he can fly his aircraft safely in all kinds of weather, for the course is marked out by radar. If he deviates either to the right or to the left, the radar warns him accordingly. It is thus that God guides us. Our text does not mean that we shall always be able to see more than one step ahead in our Christian lives. It does mean that we shall even always be able to see ahead at all. But it does mean that God has a plan for our lives and that He promises to reveal the steps of that plan to us. You're not always going to be able to see the future. You're not always going to be able to just know God's will. But through the radar of God's love and prayer and communion and fellowship with Him, reading in His Word, you'll be able to know when you are otherwise minded. You get a little too far to the right or a little too far to the left, He'll just nudge you right back into where you need to be. This is God's way. Walking with Him every step. So let me conclude with these thoughts. Do you want to know God's will? Hopefully everyone here today says, yes, I want to know God's will for my life. With that, are you trying to know God's will or know about God's will? I'm guilty so many times of just wanting to know about God's will. What if you just let me get the big book and just kind of see where my future may lead and make my own little adjustments here and kind of do your will but take my own path about it? I'd feel a lot more comfortable. It doesn't work that way. Are you willing today to do His will even before you know what that means for you? Hopefully you already are. Next, let me ask you this. Does what you do fall in line with the Word of God? You say, I'm a Christian, trying to live according to God's will. But I ask you this morning, is what you're doing or what you do fall in line with the Word of God? His will never contradicts His Word. Do God's will by operating upon the truths of Scripture. And then the last thing I would ask you in conclusion is, are you willing to go at this God's way? Not your own, but God's way. God's way is for us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. Right? You've heard that. Don't be anxious about it. Just pray about it. There is nothing too hard for God. We know God makes no mistakes. There's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too big for God. God's way is you relying upon Him with the smallest things in your life and the largest parts of each day. So with all of that said, I would conclude this morning just by saying, you can know God's will. It's not a mystery. It's not unattainable. But to know God's will is to empty yourself of your own, rely upon His Word, and to do it His way. That's the sermon. Let's stand this morning. As Ms. Wiggins plays us a verse of a song, let's have a time of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed, everyone praying. If you don't know God's will today, today is the day for you to come to know God's will. Today is the day for you to begin living your life according to His plans and not your own. Know God's will, rely upon His Word, and operate His ways. Ms. Wiggins plays. Let's all pray together.